Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your watch care over us. I thank you for the strength that you give. And Father, we live in a day when many are rejecting the truth of the Bible. And we need to stand firm. We need that strength that only you can give. And we need to trust in you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that more and more. As the song that we sing, "Oh, for grace to trust him more." Lord, we need that. I thank you that your spirits are with us today. And I ask you to fill me with your blessed spirit and help me to minister the word to your church this morning. And fill my dear wife with your spirit, laying the message in sign. Fill Brother Brian with your spirit, watching the children in the nursery there. It's wonderful to think we've already had the Bible class for the adults and the children this morning, that your word's already gone out there. Seal your message to our hearts, dear God. And Father, I just pray, it's my prayer that we'd be edified this morning and drawn closer to you. That your spirit would teach every heart the word of God, and that you would show us how it is that we can be strong, how we can face the trials of today, how we can glorify your name and be the lights that you want us to be in a crooked and perverse world, dear God. Yet you loved each one of us while we were yet sinners. You died for us. Help us getting that message of love and salvation out, for all need to hear it, dear God. And Lord, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are continuing our series, Preaching Through the Book of Ephesians. And we preached on being spiritual saints in the church of God. And we preached on being spiritual spouses, both husband and wife. We talked last week about being spiritual servants. And we saw that applies to us today by being faithful laborers for our employers. but also faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that. And this morning, we are going to look at spiritual striving. Spiritual striving. We are in a battle, and God gives us strength to face a world that is opposite of Christ. The Bible says in Romans, of course, 12, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't go with the flow of this world. Why? Because it's against God. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed. Go against the grain. Go across the. Go against the current. By the renewing of your mind. And we need that. By the power of the Spirit. We need God for that strength. So we're going to talk about spiritual striving today. As the Apostle Paul is winding down his letter to the church at Ephesus. Talk about spiritual striving. So we learn, first of all, today, for spiritual strength, believers are called to, number one, a final exhortation. Number one, a final exhortation. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Finally, be strong. What does that word finally mean? Well, it means now be strong. It means at last be strong. It means already be strong. Moreover, be strong. It's important, be strong what, in the Lord. In the Lord. He gives this final exhortation. I had a page of my sermon that I forgot to grab. I'm going to steal my wife's, the last page. Let's see here. Yeah. Last two pages, yeah. Thank you, honey. I suppose she's going to want me to talk slow now, too, since I took her notes. Final exhortations. I like people that kind of try to sum up life in a short sentence. Some of those things are helpful, those phrases. Some of them not so much. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. George Bernard Shaw. Not sure that's real helpful. Some of these, we maybe see some biblical roots in them. Those would be the ones that would be helpful, obviously. The most important thing is to enjoy your life, to be happy. It's all that matters. Audrey Hepburn. Not a whole lot of help there for the real world, is there? I have found that if you love life, life will love you back. Arthur Rubenstein. Life is really simple, but we insist on making it complicated. Maybe true, but not sure how helpful that is. This one's got a little bit of depth to it. Abraham Lincoln, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. Did we live life for the glory of God? This one probably not so much. People have different reasons for the way they live their lives. You cannot put everyone's reasons in the same box. Kevin Spacey. Some of these people. Tom Hiddleston. We all have two lives. The second one starts when we realize we only have one. Okay. Well, the Bible does say teach us to number our days. We realize the shortness we have here. We live it a little better, perhaps. Mark Twain. The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. A little bit of wisdom there. Born for the glory of God, amen. Socrates. And this actually has a biblical foundation. An unexamined life is not worth living. Let a man examine himself. Amen. We got to know where we're at. Amen. But I especially love it when the Bible gives us these summations. Why? Because it's from the fountain of truth and the fountain of life. And we can grab hold of those things and rejoice in them. I think of some other final exhortations. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Boy, that's a good thing for life, isn't it? Praying for others. Pray for us. Second Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. In other words, be mature as Christians. Kind of the same thing that Paul's saying here in different words. Be strong in the Lord. Be mature. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Find God's will and find that peace you need for your trials and that wisdom you need in your trials. That strength you need. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Whose mind is that? The mind of Christ. Amen. And he goes on, live in peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I like that. We can always rejoice in the Lord, amen. And then, of course, Philippians 4:8, telling us to direct our minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. And it goes on, giving that wonderful list, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, that's helpful. I'm thankful for that, for these final exhortations. Paul tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we have to trust the Lord. We can only be strong in the Lord. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus has been accused of being hooked up with the devil. He was performing all kinds of miracles, casting out demons. And, of course, you remember the accusation that the rulers of Israel gave. Well, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. They said the reason he casts them out is because he's one of them. He's in league with them, and so they agree with him and go when he says. That's actually what they were saying. Jesus showed them they were quite wrong. He said, when a strong man armed keepeth his house, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, as he takes away all his goods, he says in Luke 11:22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. What Jesus is saying is, the reason I'm casting out devils is because I'm stronger than they are. And I'm coming upon them. I'm entering into, I'm delivering people from the power of darkness and translating it into the kingdom, into my kingdom, is what Jesus was saying. Because I'm far more powerful than he is. That's why I'm casting out demons. And by the way, he's the one we need to trust, amen? He is the one we need to trust. You see, we have no overcoming strengths or strategies of our own that will defeat the enemy. We just don't have those things. You see, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. It's trusting in him. It's a focus, of course, the whole Bible, and especially this book of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord. Boy, those three words. Those three words are powerful. And it reduces them to two. In much of the book of Ephesians, he talks about what? Being what? In Christ. In Christ. For in Christ, you have strength. In Christ, you have hope. In Christ, you have purpose. So many things in Christ. And he is to be our strength. He's called our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. Christ is all in, and in all, the Bible says. The devil longs to move you and I away from in the Lord so that he can defeat you and I and ruin your testimony. Talked about dwelling under the wing of the Most High a bit last Sunday night, I think it was. And the devil can get us out of there, can get us to walk away from God, because God never walks away from us, amen? Yeah. If he can get us to walk away from God, he can get us to a place where he can hurt us a bit. He can't take our salvation. But we can struggle if we stray from God. You see, sin can disqualify us from service for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul wrote this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. As the idea of being set on the shelf. Paul says, if I don't get victory over sin in my life, God could say, okay, well, God could draw a line and say, I can't use you anymore. And just kind of set aside. And we have to watch for that. That could happen to any of us. So the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. First of all, a final exhortation. Be strong in the Lord. Secondly, we see a fighting realization. Secondly, we see a fighting realization. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He goes on to say all these things. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Till the end of verse 13 there, we are to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. A fighting realization. It's a battle. You see, the devil seeks to perpetuate the darkness of sinners by dimming the light of the saints. Did you get that? The devil seeks to perpetuate the darkness of sinners by dimming the light of the saints. What else can he do? The only way to preserve his darkness is to put out the light. And so that's what he's involved in. You know how many sinners have to commit more sins before they go to hell? Zero. He doesn't have to make one sinner, one unsaved sinner, worse than they already are. And it don't matter if they're a murderer or if they've gone to some church every day of their life and never been committed a crime as far as this government is concerned. It doesn't matter. He's got them all. So what's he focused on? Dimming the light of the saints. We get that gospel message, yeah. Dimming the light of the saints, what he's focused on. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He doesn't want the world to hear the message of the gospel. And he especially doesn't want the world to see the gospel in you and in me as we're telling others about the gospel. And so he's ever battling and focused upon those things. Brother Dennis could tell you this. He did wrestling in high school. Wrestling is an up-close and personal event, okay? Wrestling is an up-close and personal event, this battle that we're in. Think about this definition of wrestling. A contest between two is how the definition starts. A contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other, which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down, a certain hold and such. Wrestling. We wrestle against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. What does that word wiles mean? It means cunningness, deceit, trickery. That's what it means. See, this is not a battle of brawn against brawn. This is a spiritual battle. We don't have any tools of ourselves for it. We don't have any training that will help the flesh win that battle. Now, we need to be trained in the word of the Lord and then trust the Lord, amen, to give us that strength in our battles. This wiles of the devil, trickery, deceit, trying to get us to doubt the word of God, to doubt the faithfulness of God. That's how he works. That word wiles, it's a cunning craftiness, you know, a dark craftiness, a deceit, a trickery. Ephesians 4:14 says, we are to be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Lie in wait is the same word as wiles in the Greek. It's the same word translated. Has the idea of he's cunning and he wants to fool you and me. Wiles. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle against demonic darkness and deception. And it's designed to crush your spirit and mine and destroy your testimony for Christ and mine. That's what it's designed to do. I think about this demonic battle. Satan trying to get us to be disobedient to God, trying to ruin our testimony. I think about it. And James, in his letter, sheds some light on this dark demonic deception. James kind of gives us an anatomy of sin, an anatomy of a sin. If you want to turn there, that'd be good. In James chapter 1, verse 13, we'll look for a moment at the anatomy of a sin. Because that's really where our problem is, isn't it? When we sin against God, we get out of fellowship with Him. And that's when we fail to find the strength to meet our trials. James talks about the anatomy of a sin. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, tempting here is talking about being tempted with evil. Sometimes tempting in the Bible just means being tested. But not here. Here it's talking about being tempted with evil. What do we learn about God? God can't be tempted with evil. God has never even thought, I want to do something bad. God has never looked at something evil and thought, I'd like to do that. He can't be tempted with evil. He's never wanted to do a single thing that he would call evil. Or that is evil. Because if he calls it evil, it is evil. He's never been tempted to do or think a single thing like that. He can't be tempted with evil. And by the way, neither tempted thee any man. He's never put a trial before you or I to say, I'll see if they'll fall. He's never done that. He's never allowed a trial in your life or mine, by the way, that we weren't able to handle by his strength. And the trial was designed for that, that we might be victorious. Now, we don't always choose victory, but that's not his fault. So what do we see? We see the absolute goodness of God in that first part of James 1:13. Can't be tempted with evil and won't tempt any man with evil. So sin begins when we what? Doubt the absolute goodness of God. We're doubting God's character. Remember the Garden of Eden? Satan talking to Eve. Yea, hath God not said you cannot eat up all the trees in the garden? What's God trying to hide from you, Eve? Look at all this good stuff, and you can have all the good stuff. Oh, but there's a tree he said you can't eat of. Well, that's good. God must not be so good. He's trying to keep that tree back from you, Eve, and that fruit there. Look how beautiful it is. I wonder about that God. What was he trying to do? Get Eve to doubt God's goodness. Those people who are in love with their sin, you know what they say about Christianity? Well, if I got saved, I'd have to give up this, this, and that, you know. The good life's gone, you know, if I become a Christian. Boy, do we see how deceived that is? How blind. You haven't even begun to live according to the Bible until you become a Christian. You're just a walking dead man. Generically speaking. How deceitful the devil is. Doubting the goodness of God. Verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And don't miss this. It's a major point of the sermon. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of whose own lust? His own lust. You see, Christian enemy number one lives right in your heart and my heart. And it's the desires of your fallen nature and my fallen nature. It's that part of it is that tendency. Well, maybe this thing will be good, even though it's not in the will of God. That's deceived. That's a wiles of the devil. Folks, if it's outside the will of God, it's not good. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. drawn away of his own lust to enemy number one's within. Well, there's something better and satisfying outside the will of God. Our fallen self will tell us. You're going to enjoy that. You'll be glad you made that decision, liar. You see the deceit? the crafty deceit, and yet our flesh is what? Drawing us to that. Drawing us to that. Here's the question. Here's the challenge. Will you listen? Will you believe it? Will I believe it? When from inside our worst enemy begins speaking those things. Verse 15, then when lust has conceived, you know when that is? That's when you believe your flesh. When I believe my flesh, well, it will be fun. Well, it will be worth it. And in our mind, in our thinking, we believe the drawing of that temptation. It is, I am going to enjoy it. It will be worth it. When lust hath conceived, we have been officially deceived. Amen? It can't conceive until we're deceived. It bringeth forth what? Sin. And then when you sin, then comes that happiness you knew you'd get, right? No. Because after you've done it, what's it say? And sin, when it is finished, what? Bringeth forth death. And folks, that don't sound good or fun in anybody's book, okay? And it always does. The Christian will regret sinning. No matter how good it may look on the temptation side, once it's done, the Christian will regret it. And the only reason that we sin willfully is because we forget the goodness of God and we allow ourselves to be deceived by the lie and we go ahead and do it, and then the regret comes. And whatever destruction comes with it won't be our soul. We're saved eternally. Could be any other manner of suffering that comes with it. The deceived mind will consent to the dark desire of the flesh, thinking to obtain something good and satisfying, though it be outside the will of God. And James goes on to say, listen, he said, look at verse 16 in James 1. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I put in parentheses, don't be deceived. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Why? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. There's nothing good or satisfying outside of God's will. Don't be fooled. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, we believe the lie. Look at verse 18. Of his own will beget he us with what? The word of truth. That would have saved us. If we'd have just believed and sought the word of truth, that would have saved us from going astray on the path. We wouldn't listen to the old flesh. And we'd have had that victory. A fighting realization. The enemy is within. We live up on the north of town in Lewisburg. And we have some wildlife up there that comes in our yard. We get a deer coming in our yard. And turkeys. We've seen a bobcat twice. Came through a yard. Way up the top of the hill, years ago, my wife and I actually saw a wolf. Only ever saw him one time. And there are cougar in this area. They've been seen in town. Wilson School. They saw them, and they had to. I think you were working there at the time when they had the bulletin out that the one that had been seen in the drainage, a young cougar had been seen. You know, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. With the grandchildren playing in our yard, I have never seen a cougar near our house. Brother Matt, they used to live up in the West Hills. And his dad used to rent a place up there when he pastored a church here. And they saw cougars multiple times. But he said every time he saw a cougar, he was up in a tree. He never saw one on the ground. Every time he happened to see one, notice one, it was up in a tree. That's kind of the way the devil is. He didn't stand out in plain sight, but he's ready to pounce. Now, our grandkids play out in our yard. And let me tell you something. A little child is no match for a cougar. And if I ever saw a cougar anywhere near our house, what do you think my attitude of awareness and readiness and concern would be? It would be turned way up, wouldn't it? Well, what I want us to realize this morning is the enemy is not out there far away somewhere. He's right nearby, waiting for a chance to pounce. He's right here. He meets me every day when I get up. The enemy is right here. He's our fallen nature. He's our fallen nature. He attends church. Matter of fact, his attendance exactly matches the attendance that we have every time we come. There's a fallen nature. When you're here, he's here. When I'm here, he's here. He never misses a service when we're here. And by the way, when we stay home, he stays home with us, right? The enemy, the fallen nature within, a fighting realization. We wrestle against, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, world. Don't worry. It's not like, well, my greatest problem is going to be these ungodly laws that are passing. Ungodly rulers that rule the nations and maybe political rulers that hate God. No. When it talks about those powers, those rulers of darkness, the principalities and powers, it's not talking about powers up there like what you and I think in the physical realm. Not talking about presidents and leaders and dictators. It's talking about spiritual powers in their high places. And folks, they can care less about the lost dictators and presidents and the wickedness going up there. They're after you. Because their only hope is what? Those spiritual powers are after you and me. Because Satan's hope of perpetuating the darkness of the sinners is what? Dimming the lights of the saints. His organization is after the church, is after believers. He doesn't have to make a lost dictator more wicked. He's got him already. And by the way, God can be glorified if every nation on the world was ruled by dictators. Amen? We can still glorify God as believers. And by the way, the devil still would be after believers if that was the case. You see what I'm saying? It's right at home is where that enemy is lying. It's right in our front yard. Paul recognized that. We read this verse earlier in the first point. We saw that we don't have any power to fight this enemy. Paul said, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body. Did you get that? What Paul is saying is, I am battling and keeping whose body? My body. Here's what I do so I won't be set aside. Here's what I need to focus on so I can glorify God in my life. I need to get victory over who? Personal pronoun, my body. My body. Because inside me, there's a fallen nature that resists every time I want to do the will of God. And it's trying to get me pushed aside out of the will of God day by day, moment by moment. And Paul said, I keep under my body. I watch that thing. And I'm battling it every day. This enemy that we face, each one of us. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. This is the one I got to worry about right here. You see, the worst dictator in the world can't make me sin. The devil himself can't make me sin. If I'm going to stray out of God's will and become vulnerable, well, you know what's going to come from? Right in here. James chapter 1. That old flesh is going to begin to say, hey, you could do this. You could watch this. You could listen to this. You could go here. It's going to come from right here. Not out there somewhere. It's going to come from right at home. In my heart and in your heart. And we have to watch for that. God tells us to. Yes, there are enemies without. But there's only one who can disqualify you from service and ruin your testimony. And that's the enemy within. When we listen to him, to that old nature, and yield to it. Be not deceived, Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to, what's it say? His flesh. Notice the personal pronoun. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If Bob Crawford will listen to Bob Crawford's flesh, Bob Crawford will get corruption. And by the way, you can put your name in there in that verse. Because my flesh can't make me sin, and your flesh can't, and your my flesh can't make you sin, and your flesh can't make me sin. But you know what? Your flesh sure can make you sin, amen. And my flesh sure can tempt me to sin. I say make if we yield to it. Make us sin if we believe it. Make us sin if we get our eyes off the Lord. Yes, there are enemies without, but only one that can move us out of the will of God. He comes from within. From within, what? Out of the heart of man perceive evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, murders. Jesus says, watch the ends. Watch what's trying to come out. Watch what's going on the inside. That's where the real battle's at. That's where you'll find victory or lose it, one or the other. We have to watch that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day. When is that? It's that day your flesh begins calling. Hey, you could do this. You could go here. You could watch this. You could say this. You could whatever sin it might be. That flesh begins tempting. Maybe a day when you're mentally wore out or tired or physically struggling. The devil likes to tempt, and your flesh likes to tempt you in times of weakness. The evil day. And by the way, every day, we have to watch for that. I like Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Talking about don't worry about the evil in tomorrow. Why not worry about the evil in tomorrow? Because sufficient unto the day, what? Is the evil thereof. Jesus says, because there's enough evil in today for you to deal with. By the way, where is that? Well, it got up with you this morning. And it didn't take a day off. And that's the evil you got to watch for today, and I do, because that evil is with us every day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the thing that can sway me out of the will of God if I'm not careful. And every one of us. Rob us of our joy and our peace, answered prayer, all the fruits of the Spirit, can be quenched in a sense, if the devil would get us astray. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's not be weary in well doing. Every day we get up, and every day the flow of the world's against us. And every day our flesh is against us. Anybody ever get tired? it's like, Lord, looking for the time when all, the Bible says that this world's going to be destroyed and there's going to be a new world created. Peter says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I like that. Folks, when we get to heaven and when God makes a new heaven and earth, there is nothing going to dwell in that place but righteousness. And that counts everything on the outside and everything on the inside of you and me. How many of you are glad about that? Amen. One day that's going to be gone. But not here. Every day it gets up with us. And it gets wearying sometimes. It gets tiring sometimes to battle. Let's not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Every day we face that. I think Brother Dennis would testify to this. In a wrestling match, it's often the one who gets wore out first that loses. Amen. It's the one that says, I just can't do this anymore. It's often the one that loses it up here first. They get wore out. And we don't need to do that. Why? Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. We have a great cause to live for, folks. It's to glorify God. But though our outward man perish, oh yeah, it gets tired. But we can't win a spiritual battle of the flesh anyway, amen. By the way, the more tired we get, just the more we ought to pray. Just call out to God more. You don't have to have long prayers. God help will be fine. God help me. That phrase meant from the heart, folks, can change everything for you in a moment. And sometimes you can't even voice it. Sometimes just, oh Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, I know exactly what that need is. And boom, God meets that need. And victory's wrought again. Which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I like that. The word of God, we get up. It's renewed day by day. Satan can get us astray. And sometimes we'll lose our testimony if we're not careful. We may sin against someone. And God will forgive that sin. But you know what? They may not forget it. We may have lost our testimony with that person. I was getting something ready for the kids this morning, just finishing something up. And parents would be glad to hear this. I had put I was using a permanent marker to make something, and I had a project for the kids. And I thought about bringing in a permanent marker so they could make their numbers on their clocks and things like that they made for the craft. And then the Lord kindly spoke to me. Those little kids wear their nice church clothes to church. Their parents aren't rich. Maybe you should just put the permanent marker away. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. Thank you for the wisdom. But you know what? When I got that marker out, I accidentally touched the table with it. When I moved over to make the mark I was going to make, and it made a mark on our table. The Youngs gave us that the table that we have, and it made a mark on the table. It's got a nice sheen on it. I went quickly to the hot water, some soap, and you know I had to scrub and scrub. I mean that it was still wet. I mean that marker had to be still wet. I had to scrub and this little space like that, just back and forth, and you know what? I got it off. But you know what I noticed? The sheen was gone. In that one spot, it had actually taken off some of the finish of the table. Because I had to rub that long and that hard to get it off. So some of the glory was removed because I wasn't careful and it left a mark. That's the way our sins are sometimes. God forgives us, folks. As far as he's concerned, it's forgotten. But it doesn't mean people forget. And it doesn't mean it doesn't sometimes leave scars. And that's why we have to be careful, amen? That's why we have to be careful. So what do I do if I've left scars? Listen, God's forgiven you, go on. Just go forward. You can't go back and change it. You and I can apologize for things that we've done wrong, and then we just go on and we do the best we can for God. Someone may never forgive us. I can't help that. And you can't help that. We just go on, and we try not to make that mark somewhere else on somebody else. See what I'm saying? Oh, how we need to be careful. A final exhortation. A fighting realization. And thirdly and finally, Paul calls us to a full appropriation. A full appropriation. We need to trust wholly in God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Take unto you the whole armor of God. And we'll probably, I may make an individual message out of each one of that, each one of the armor as we go through that. But he says, take the whole armor of God upon you. Why? Because we need all God's provided for us. Amen. The devil's always looking for a missing piece of armor. By the way, if you're doing battle with a hand-to-hand combat and you've got your full gear on, like they had in the days of David and such, and Goliath had on, and you see a missing piece, something of protection, your enemy is missing his breastplate or something, and maybe they're missing the cover on his shin, what do you go for? The weak spot. You look for the missing armor. You look for the weak spot. That's what Satan's looking for. So put on the whole armor of God. I like that. And I close with this thought on this whole armor of God. That word, whole armor, it's one word. And it's found three times in the New Testament. You find it twice here. In verse 13, put on the whole armor of God. In verse 11, you find put on the whole armor of God. That's two times it's found. It's found in one other place. Look at Luke 11:32. We've been there already. We'll go back there. Luke 11:32. Jesus has been accused of being casting out devils by Beelzebub. Luke 11:22. Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That's the devil. Verse 22, but when a stronger than he, I know who that is, amen, Jesus Christ, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him, here it is, all his armor. The interpretation of all and armor there is the only other place this word is used. Wherein he trusted, and it divideth his spoils. What am I saying? When we put on the whole armor of God, Christ is able to, for us, strip Satan of all his armor. That's the only other place that word's used. God says, you put on all mine, I'll take away all his. I like that. Isn't that encouraging? He doesn't have a thing that can hurt you if you'll put on my armor. You put on all my armor, you'll be stripping him of his. He's trusting you. Everything he trusts in, he's trusting you to doubt God. He's trusting to deceive you to think of something good outside of the will of God. He's trusting that you'll listen to your flesh. He's trusting that you'll get tired and weary and forget to call upon the Lord in prayer for strength. That's all the things he's trusting in. And who is he that will harm you if you fall into that which is good? If we have our eyes on the Lord, he can't touch us. And we can have victory over this flesh. Being able to stand in the evil of having done all to stand. Stand fast in the faith, the Bible says. And standing is not doesn't mean it, mean it means not to being swayed from the path. I'll close with this illustration. I was watching Live PD last night. Anybody watch that? It's a pretty interesting show, Live PD. Just follows officers around live on their duties. And they had a lot of DUIs this last episode. And they pulled this people over, and they're having this one person walk along, and they're doing this, and I mean, their feet are all over. I mean, I don't think they ever hit the line once, you know. And drunken, you know, with the alcohol and drugs, whatever it might be, couldn't walk the straight line, couldn't walk the path. And, you know, that's what the devil is trying to do with us in our fallen nature, trying to get us pushed off the path. Drunken with worldliness, deceived with seeking pleasures for the flesh, and trying to get us just to stagger off the path. Just to come out from under that wing long enough so we can make a mark that won't go away. And God doesn't want us to do that. He'll forgive us. Let's stay close, amen. Let's keep a short list before God, amen. And walk with Him and find that strength that we need through Him to stand fast in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this church. I thank You for this sweet fellowship that we have. And Father, we've known Your blessings and Your goodness in our lives, and Your mercies are new every morning. And we can testify to that. And Father, there are struggles and trials in every life in this church. God, I often weep as I pray for each one individually and the trials I know about in their lives. Some of them, I don't know if I can handle them, Lord. I probably don't have them in my life because I wouldn't be able to handle them at this time. But I weep and pray for them, and I know these folks pray for each other. And I thank You for that. And God, You know my heart's desire is that Your church would be edified, that Your Spirit would teach us Your word and help us just to trust You more. Grace to trust You more as we sing that song. And Father, help us to stand fast and not to listen to our flesh and the world, and to think that by straying for a moment we can find something satisfying. But ultimately, it'll be okay, when what it will do ultimately is break our own hearts and break Your heart and cause us problems with our Christian testimony. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to stay close to You, Lord. Help us to call upon Your name often. Help us to be in Your word that we may learn those tricks and that deceit and learn the truth to trust and combat those things, Father, and to glorify Your name. And I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for Your word. And I pray You'd help us as a church and as individual believers is where it starts, that we might glorify Your name in our lives and then Your name together as a church. We thank You, Father, for all the victories You've given, opportunities of service You've given. Lord, we praise Your name. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.